Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Now, how many of us know that we are Good Friday and Easter people? You know that? Amen? You look so confused. If we are not Good Friday, Easter people, we won't be here, right? We are Good Friday and Easter people. And we must never forget Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us. That's what we did on Good Friday. And we must never forget that he rose again on the third day. He is alive and well this morning. Amen. Did you really experience his presence? Amen. You know, he doesn't show up only when we preach. No, friends. From the time we step in here, yes, he died and rose again 2,000 years ago, but he's alive and well every time his people gather together. And so we celebrate that today. We celebrate God's death on the cross and his resurrection. Now, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus cannot be ignored, for it is foundational to our faith. You see, the Apostle Paul did not mince words about this truth, friends. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, friends, without the resurrection, our preaching is useless. You know, all of the preaching that we have done all these years, preachers, it's useless without the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection of Jesus, our worship and meeting together is a waste of time. Without the resurrection, our prayer meetings make no sense. Without the resurrection, as Paul said it, our faith is futile. And without the resurrections, our sins are not forgiven, friends. The death of Jesus was a sheer waste. But thank God, resurrection happened. Amen. Resurrection happened on that first resurrection morning. As the women went to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. In Luke chapter 24, verse 5 and 6, the angel said to the woman, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Yes, friends, give a big clap offering to Jesus. Yes, thank you. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. You see, friends, what apparently seemed as a catastrophe on Good Friday turned into a Sunday morning victory. The resurrection of Jesus since then has changed human history, friends. Not only you and I are here today because Jesus touched our lives, but down through the century, around the world, the human history has been changed. The tomb is empty, but the resurrected Lord is with his people. The hymn writer captures this truth in these words. He says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Then he goes on to proclaim this powerful truth that we are celebrating today, friends. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. What a beautiful answer he gives. He lives within my heart. Amen. He lives. That's why we gather here today, friends, because he is our Savior and Lord, the resurrected Lord. Lest we forget his resurrection. Why is the resurrection of Jesus so important to us? And I'm going to quickly give three reasons. There could be many more you could come across. But let me give you these three reasons why it is important to us. The resurrection of Jesus affirms that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, the resurrection proved that Jesus is the one who he claimed to be the Son of God. And Paul writes this like this in Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. He says, concerning his son who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power. Listen to it, friends. Yes, there will be people who will take care of whatever's there. Okay. That's the resurrection power, I think. Okay. They'll take care of it. Okay. Listen to it. It says, concerning the Son who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, who else can raise himself from the dead but God? Nobody could raise themselves from the dead, even in the past or present or in the future. Nobody can do that except God himself. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Son of God. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus affirms Jesus' victory over sin and death. You see, Jesus died in the place of sinful people, taking the punishment of our sins. But in order to triumph over sin, Jesus not only needed to die to take our sins upon himself, he also needed to rise from the dead to show that the sin that was placed upon him, the sin of the world, was finally dealt with. Thirdly, why is the resurrection of Jesus so important? Because Jesus' resurrection promises what is to come for all of us. As Cynthia prayed for all those who are bereaved family, here is the hope that the resurrection gives. Sister Sheila, we'll see Auntie there. We'll see your mom there. Others who have lost their loved ones, we are going to see them, because that promises us to what is to come, friends, for all of us. Following in Jesus' footstep, every single person in the future will be raised bodily from the dead. One day, followers of Jesus will be resurrected too. What a glorious day. What a hope we have been assured in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, a family from India lived in Jerusalem. Now, Indians are everywhere, okay? They are in Jerusalem, they lived. This man's mother-in-law who lived with them died, and the man, mother-in-law, okay? And the man went to the undertaker to find out the expense for the funeral. The undertaker said, if you bury her here, it will cost you $1,500. But if you ship her back to India, it will cost you $5,000. He said that he wanted her shipped back to India. The undertaker was a little puzzled and inquired, why would you want to do that? Pay $5,000 to ship her back to India when you can bury her here for $1,500. The man said, I heard 2,000 years ago a man died and was buried and he was risen from the dead. I cannot take that chance. Mother-in-laws, please forgive me. Okay. What I want to do for the next few minutes is to turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at Jesus' four distinct message to his follower on that first resurrection. Jesus' four distinct message post-resurrection. Follow with me as we unpack this chapter, friends. You can read the other gospels, but I have limited time. I'm going to just give you some of the thoughts that are found right here post-resurrection. You see, Jesus knew what would happen to his disciples when he would be arrested and crucified. Jesus said to them these words, strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock would be scattered. And we read that happened, friends. The death of Jesus made the disciples go into hiding. Fear gripped their hearts that the Jewish authorities would go after their lives now, since they got Jesus. Their expectation of Jesus as their Messiah who will deliver them from the Roman rule was dashed. To add to this, the women were afraid to see the tomb empty. Jesus' body was not there. Listen to what Luke says in verse 5. And Pastor Jacob referred to this earlier. It says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Now go down to verse 17 of the same chapter that we are in, chapter 24 of Luke. Jesus met two disciples going to Emmaus. And again, see what happens to them. They stood still, their faces downcast. In verse 36 onwards, we see Jesus appeared to his disciples who were behind closed doors. And look at verse 37, friends. It says, they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. You see, fear had paralyzed the disciples on that day. And we find Jesus, post-resurrection, comes to them and ministered to his disciples who are fearful disciples. First of all, the first message that comes to them is when Jesus moved his disciples from fear to courage. From fear to courage. Look at Luke chapter 24 verse 36 onwards, friend. Jesus rallies around his fearful and demoralized disciples and speaks to them. He realized they were so fearful of their lives. He realized they could not take the death of Jesus. He spends time with them, assuring them it was he who has come to meet with them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We need to fast forward to the book of Acts now, friends. The same disciples who were afraid that night when Jesus met them, when he visited them, are now preaching the gospel boldly. In fact, in chapter 2, we find the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They preach the message and we find people turn to Jesus. Go to chapter 3 of Acts. We find there was a man that was lame. He was healed in the name of Jesus. And then when they were arrested, stood before the Jewish authorities, they were not afraid to declare this truth, the powerful truth. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw, this is the Jewish authorities, friends, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, that they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Yes. These men had been with Jesus for 3 years. But these men also had been with Jesus post resurrection. Jesus took time to minister to them, and he moves them from fear to courage, friends. Friends, what an encouraging truth that you and I find here. Jesus helped his disciples to move from fear to courage. You see, fear is a real struggle in our world today. Christ followers also struggle with fear. Yes or no? Pastors, we struggle with fear. We need to be honest, friends, that we struggle with fear. But here, you need to understand that Jesus coming and ministering to the disciples, Jesus does not want us to be a slave to fear, friends. Yes, fear hurts us. It messes up our lives and causes us to live in shallow faith. But how do I know that God wants me to be free from fear? If you're a student of God's word, you'll understand God tells us in his word many times, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Listen to one of those times, Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Friends, I want you to hear what God is saying to us on this resurrection morning. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. Can it get any better? God is with you and for you. Don't fear, friends. I believe that the resurrected Lord is here to set people free from their fears. I don't know who you are, friends. If you're seated here and fear has gripped you, I believe the power of the resurrection is right here to set you free. Jesus is here to give us courage and a new boldness. You and I need to know that we are no longer, as the songwriter writes, friends, a slave to fear, but we are the child of God. Amen. We are a child of God. Our fears, the songwriter says, are drowned in his perfect love. Amen. I dare ask you, are you fearful? Friends, I already told you, all of us face this. All of us face fear in our life. If you're honest, you will ask the resurrected Lord, even before we leave this place, to move you from fear to courage. Can you just tell this to somebody seated next to you? Fear to courage. Fear to courage. Let Jesus move you from fear to courage. Friends, hand over your fears to Jesus today. Let us learn to leave everything in God's hands. I want you to know this truth. When you leave everything in God's hands, you will see God's hand in everything. Amen. Secondly, the second distinctive message of Jesus on that post-resurrection, on that first resurrection morning, we find Jesus moved his disciples from doubt to faith. Jesus told the disciples that he will be crucified and die, but will rise again on the third day. He said it many times, friends, at different occasions. But find out as you read the passage post-resurrection, none of the disciples expected the resurrection. None of the disciples. The women went to the tomb not expecting resurrection, but to finish the burial responsibility. That's what the Bible records. You know, Mary, thinking the risen Jesus was a gardener, tells him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Mary was not expecting a resurrection. You know, Peter and John went to the tomb and saw the burial cloth and linen lying there. And in John 20 verse 9, we are told they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples were behind closed doors. Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be upon you." And in Luke chapter 24 verse 38, Jesus said to them, and listen, very clearly explained to us. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds?" Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? How can we forget doubting Thomas? Yes. The other disciples of Jesus told Thomas, because Jesus appeared to them and they told him, "We have seen the Lord." And in John 20, 25, Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hands in his side, I will not believe." We are told in John chapter 20, Jesus appeared again to Thomas. And hear the conversation that takes place between Jesus and Thomas, friends, from verses 27 to 29. "Then he said to Thomas," Jesus said to Thomas, "put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." That you and I are included in that, friends. Down through the centuries, many were not privileged to be there to see Jesus in person post-resurrection. But you and I have believed, and Jesus says we are blessed. You see, friends, Jesus expects us to live a life of faith. Now, we are journeying to that this year, right? By faith. Jesus is not advocating to believe everything. You can't. We live in a world, there's a lot of deception, right? You know it and I know it. You can't just believe everything. You know, you receive a mail. This happened to many of us. And if it hasn't happened to you, it may happen to you. You receive a mail and the person sending is posing himself or herself to be your friend. And then asking you for money. You know why? Because their bank account has been hacked. And so they say, "Please send me the money." And then they give the whatever the details. And then you call the friend of yours and you try to tell, "I didn't send you the mail." Okay. We all know that's a scam. Right? So we don't believe everything that comes to us. But we need to understand Thomas was a friend and disciple of Jesus. He truly loved Jesus, friends. But why did he doubt? It's because what has happened to Jesus left him disillusioned and wounded. And so when this news comes to him, you know, "We have seen Jesus," he didn't want a repeat of that again, friends. He wanted to see that for himself because he didn't want it to be hurt again. Friends, that is what happens to us as followers of Jesus. The unpleasant happenings in our lives cause us to doubt whether Jesus loves us and he's with us. We need to know if Jesus has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, he will be true to his promise. Jesus is silently working his purpose in our pain. In our pain, we don't get to see the purpose. But we get to see the Savior, the resurrected Lord, working his purpose in our pain. And that's why this was referred to referred by Pastor Agnell again in Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now somebody has so beautifully put this. He says, when you don't trace his hand, trust his heart. Jesus is silently working his purpose in our pain, friends. A preacher on an airplane was asked by the passenger next to him what he did for a living. The preacher said, I am a preacher. Then he went on to ask, do you know the Lord? The man answered, well, preacher, I try to keep my religion simple, you know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The preacher asked, what do you do for a living? The man answered, I am an astronomer at a college. And then he turned around and asked the preacher, do you know much about astronomy? Asked that man. The preacher replied, well, I try to keep my astronomy simple. You know, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I say that in jest, friends, to understand, as followers of Jesus Christ, our life is simply put in one sentence, that is, trusting the risen Savior and living in the victory of the resurrection every day. You and I are here because we love the risen Savior. You and I are here because we want to share in the victory of the resurrection. Hear me clearly, friends. Jesus wants us to believe without proof, friends. Yes, Thomas came to him and said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and on his side, I will not believe. But today, Jesus wants us to believe him without proof. If you come with a hungry heart, if you come with a sincere heart, he will reveal himself to you, friends. There is no need of a proof, friends. If you come with a sincere, hungry heart, Jesus will reveal. He's been speaking to you right through the service from the time we began. He has been just reminding of his awesome presence, how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. We went to the entire Good Friday service just to remind ourselves Jesus loved us so much that he went to the Calvary's cross and bore your sins and my sins, died for your sins and my sins. Could it be possible that some today seated here in this celebration are struggling with doubts? You love Jesus, but because of some unpleasant things that has happened, you feel disappointed and wounded, friends. Perhaps you sit here, you're so gripped with that pain, there's some kind of a doubt that is there. Does Jesus really love me? Does he care about me? Why did I go through what I went through? Why this has happened to me? I want us to know, friends, that the resurrected Lord is here to move you from doubt to faith. Doubt to faith. But here is my encouragement. The best and the safest place you can go to when struggling with doubts is to the presence of the resurrected Jesus, friends. That's all the pastors and the preachers can tell you. And the rest is the work of Jesus. God is big enough to handle all the doubts and all our questions. If somebody takes up the job, the duty of writing all the questions, all the doubts that you and I had in the church here, you will be amazed of what are the people's doubts and questions. But I want you to know today, Jesus is big enough to answer your questions, to deal with your doubts, to care for you, to walk with you in that season, in that phase, friends. And he will move you from doubts to faith. You know, somebody said like this, those who doubt most, listen to it. Now, this does not give you an excuse to doubt more, okay? But listen to it. What I'm going to just make you feel good because you doubted, okay? We are all in that. Those who doubt most and yet strive to overcome their doubts turn out to be some of Christ's strongest disciples. So don't feel guilty if you have doubted him. But if you are here, the resurrected Lord who ministered to the disciples then moved them from doubt to faith. He is here to touch you. Give your doubts to Jesus and walk out of this place with faith, friends. You know, Jesus ministered to Thomas and he said, stop doubting and believe. It's because he knew what Thomas is going to do for him. If he continued in that state of doubt, he could not be used mightily, friends. And all of us know because of the faith that day that he came to India, he died as a martyr because of that strong faith in Jesus. Let the resurrected Lord Jesus move us from doubt to faith. Thirdly, quickly, Jesus' distinct message post-resurrection was he moved the people from sadness to joy. Sadness to joy. On that first resurrection morning, Jesus moved his disciple from sadness to joy, friends. You just follow with me the account of the Passion Week. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples were filled with sadness. The death of Jesus broke their hearts. And when they heard that Jesus' body was not in the tomb, it caused them immense sadness to the point they withdrew themselves from everything and shut themselves in a room. In John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, we read like this. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. And then listen, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Follow with me in Luke chapter 24, verse 52. After Jesus' ascension, it reads like this, friends. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. In John chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but grief will turn to joy. Friends, how many of you seated here today feel you are burnt out, tired, broken, worn out? Maybe you are in a tough marriage or a tough job situation. Or perhaps it's the chronic illness either you are going through or somebody in your family. Or perhaps you're seated here today discouraged and depressed, friends. I don't know what is the cause or the reason. But there is no joy in your heart. You are under the weight of sadness. I want you to know that the resurrected Lord Jesus is the only one who can replace your sadness with joy. There's no things on this earth. There's no amount of money. There's no power, fame, or position, friends. Jesus is the only one who can replace our sadness with joy. In Psalms 30 verse 5, we read, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Friends, if you're going through a season of sadness, the resurrected Jesus is here to fill you with joy. It is not God's will that you struggle physically, emotionally, or mentally, friends. He loves you. He is our good Father. He desires only what is best for you in everything. So listen to me carefully, friends. Your sorrow that you're going through today, it won't last forever when you exchange it for the joy that Jesus gives you. He is here to give you joy and take that sadness away. So don't leave this place sad, discouraged, and depressed. The Word of God tells us in His presence there is fullness of joy. And I pray, friends, by the time we leave this place, that you would have experienced the joy of His presence, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. I don't know who you are. You need the joy that Jesus gives you. You are in the right place. He will give you the joy. He will take the weight of that sadness away. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Fourthly, the message that Jesus brought to them post-resurrection is defeat to victory. You see, the first resurrection speaks clearly and loudly about Jesus' victory. What seemed like Jesus' defeat to the Jewish authorities, to all who witnessed the cruel crucifixion and death, including the disciples of Jesus, Satan and the forces of darkness who thought death of Jesus was the end of him, putting him in a sealed tomb was the end. Jesus proved them all wrong. The evil intent and hatred of men could not stop Jesus going forward with the plan of God, friends. Death could not hold him back. Tomb could not shut him in. Jesus rose again to tell us he is alive. He is victorious. He has dealt with sin. Satan is defeated. Death is conquered. And Jesus is victorious. But 2,000 years ago, Satan said on Good Friday, game over. But Jesus, by his resurrection on Sunday, Easter Sunday, said, game's on. Game's on. Jesus was unstoppable. Nothing could stop him. He holds the keys of death and Hades, friends. He is given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, God's will for our lives is constant victory. Yes, we live in a broken world. It seems very far to fetch that or do that. In your strength, you cannot. I cannot. But His will for your life and my life is constant victory. Jesus' victory is our victory, friends. You must believe that today. That does not mean we will not face trials, testings, and problems in life. On the other hand, when we do face it, you will not be defeated, but will be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us. As Christ followers, we share in the resurrection power of Jesus. He wants us to live a life of victory, not a life of defeat, friends. Followers of Jesus live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Walk around as those who are already on the winning side. take authority and use the resurrection power to destroy the works of the enemy. As followers of Jesus, we may sometimes be knocked down, but not knocked out. I think we are a generation who speak more about pressure in life than any other generation would have. We face all kinds of pressure, ultimately landing up facing blood pressure. Friends, I want us to know pressure will not defeat us when we make room for God's presence and His power to touch our lives. Listen to the resurrected Lord Jesus' last words before He ascended into heaven. He tells His disciples, "All authority has been given to me." What is He saying? "I'm delegating that authority to you." And then He concludes with this promise, "I am with you always." I want us to leave our Easter celebration knowing God's presence is with us. You have the resurrection power to live a victorious life. Friends, there is no failure, defeat, or mistake that cannot be remedied through the grace of God. He is here to forgive us if we have done anything wrong against Him. You know, we are Good Friday and Easter people. Our sins are forgiven. And if it's not forgiven, it's available today. You can be forgiven. And we live in victory, friends, even though you don't feel like that. But the resurrection power of Jesus is given to you. Jesus is victorious. When we come on His side and allow Him to organize our victory, you will live in victory, not defeat. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of victory. Victory must be celebrated, friends. And many place, Pastor Agnell and the band, would you please come? Would you please come? I'm going to ask all of us in a short while to stand. But listen to me, friends. Victory must be celebrated. And many places, victory is celebrated. You know by how? A victory lap. Or exuberant dancing. I don't know if you have seen games, and very especially India-Pakistan cricket game, and India's won all across the street. You will find an exuberant celebration that's happening, and there is the victory lap that takes place whichever the venue is, friends. I want you to stand this morning as we do our victory lap today. I wish we can have every one of you come and march around this place, but wherever you are, with exuberant worship and thanksgiving, celebrate the victory of the Lord right now. He's in our midst. Oh, victory in Jesus. Sing it loud. Sing it with a smile. He has moved us from fear to courage. He has moved us from doubt to faith. And He has moved us, friends, today.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGCKolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.